Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station. And pleased to welcome in to the WANI hotline, Jared Hudson, who is going to be running for the seat that is being vacated, or I guess I could say given up by Tommy Tuberville, who, as he tells me anytime he talks to me, Jared, he said, call me coach. So coach is wanting to come back home and be in the great state of Alabama and try to run things out of Montgomery. But that gives you an opportunity to try to jump in that seat. And did you think when you were going through Buds that you'd be a politician a few years later?
No, bro, 100% not. I didn't even think 3 or 4 months ago when I was asked would I consider running if coach ran for governor that I'd be a politician like this. So, you know, but it's, I guess it's welcome to the show. So,
yeah, it is. It's definitely, you feel like you're drinking through a fire hose right now with everything that's been thrown in your direction?
Man, a little bit. You know, I mean, surprisingly enough, of course, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and me and my wife spent some time praying about this because for us it's not, you know, again, it's not something that's on our radar. It's just kind of the doors have been open. Open doors and green lights are not always bad, just so all the listeners understand that. At the same time, a lot of times it can be. So there's a lot of discernment going through this and a lot of stuff being thrown at us really quickly from here in Alabama, meeting with people, making it all the way to the White House and to the Republican Senatorial Committee, all of those powers that be, just to see what this looks like. And here we sit, man. I couldn't even explain how it happened, but it's definitely different than what I'm used to.
Well, I saw an article earlier. You're already getting endorsements. You got endorsed by Riley Gaines, who we've talked about a lot here just because conservative news talk radio station, you know, and guys and women's sports and how she's totally against it. And so she's not only an influencer probably nationally, but even in the state of Alabama. So that's got to feel pretty good to have somebody like that in your corner.
Oh yeah, yeah. So Riley, she's a great chick, and she and her husband Louie is a great dude. I've known them now for a few years, off and on, with different events. She works on the anti-human trafficking side, supporting, you know, victim advocacy with some of what we do with Covenant Rescue Group. So we've had a lot of mutual friends, and then had the opportunity to talk and meet a few times, and so I was really happy and honored that that she would even, you know, consider endorsing our candidacy. So that was cool.
Is that something, if elected, that you'd be willing to kind of head down that road? I mean, I know you got Covenant Rescue. Since you brought it up, I want to go into that a little bit. Is even here locally, the city of Opelika has deemed it where they can basically pull a business license, and the way they're doing that is if it's like a hotel where basically kids are being trafficked through there, they can just take the business away altogether after they bust them up. And is that something that you would try to take to Washington with you, to since it hits so close to home?
Oh yeah, 100%, because I know a lot about it. And you're talking about Opelika, so y'all's police chief, Chief Healy, Shane Healy. I don't know if you know him.
Yep. His wife is my insurance agent.
Is she? Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. Small world. No, he's a great dude. We've done a lot of work with him. They're probably, between them and Huntsville, as far as police departments we've worked with go, they are probably one of the most in-depth, if not the most in-depth, when it comes to human trafficking investigations, police departments in the state, Opelika, you know, like him or not, Chief down there, and all of his guys. I won't name them because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get anybody hemmed up. But you got a great PD down there, Lee County Sheriff's Office. We've worked with them some, a lot of good dudes there, and y'all got a lot of good players in your area that in the prosecutor's office, for that matter, down there. The prosecutor does a great job. So I say that to say, y'all are in an area where they really do target human trafficking, and they want to learn how to target it. So it's been an honor being able to work on that side of the state with our organization, with the training and operations that we provide with y'all's folks. But as far as going to Senate, being able to do it, yeah, it's the position of U.S. Senator is a force multiplier for, you know, a bunch of different things, human trafficking being one of them, Homeland Security being part of that. So yeah, that's definitely something that I'll be able to bring to D.C. from the state of Alabama It's just because I've dealt with it so much.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's what, I mean, your constituents, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you've been on the campaign trail thus far, I mean, I'm sure that people are saying, hey, what can you do for us? So I guess, you know, what would be your answer to them when they come up and go, you know, well, Tubbs has been, Coach has been involved definitely with back in a lot of the ideas that Trump has brought forth. And as he said, as he told Trump, his time is coming to an end too. I mean, with him only being able to do this last term and then be out of there. So, you know, I guess what would be your message to some of them as far as they say, hey, Jared, if you get to Washington, you know, you're going to be representing the state. What can you help do? What are you going to do for us?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say that the biggest things, when we get into specifics here in just a second, I know we don't have a lot of time, but just the general overview is, for me, and as me and my wife prayed about this and looked at it, the position of U.S. Senator is truly a service-oriented position. However, oftentimes these political, especially the higher-level political positions like a U.S. Senator, U.S. Congressman, even President for that matter, has been embodied by people who are seeking self-service as opposed to the service of the people. The preamble of the Constitution starts off with the people. So what I intend to do, what I will do, what I've done, whether as a SEAL in the military, as a law enforcement officer, as a CEO of a nonprofit that impacts communities locally against human trafficking, and then obviously as the CEO of the training company where we provide training still for military and law enforcement, I understand what a service-oriented life looks like. Now, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. You know, I'm not Jesus Christ, but he was a service-oriented leader, and I intend to make sure that that position is there on behalf of the people, because the preamble starts off with that, we the people. And I'm just the elected representative to bring the issues of the people of Alabama, in our case, to Washington, D.C., not the stupidity of Washington, D.C., back to the people of Alabama. So I would say just 30,000 foot view, that's how I can positively impact you as your U.S. Senator. What issues you have, we can take it to where it needs to go to hopefully positively impact us, as opposed to the other way around, which is what we've seen over the last, at least my lifetime. I've been alive for 40 years. We've seen that for 40 years, politicians negatively impacting us.
Again, Jared Hudson joins me as he is running for the Senate seat that will be vacated by Tommy Tuberville as he will be running for governor. Jared Hudson with me on the WANI hotline. And yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, there's the, you know, what is it that somebody told me one time, that the only two of the people that get talked about the worst are either politicians or used car salesmen. That's and lawyers not far behind. So they always say there's so many of them that are kind of all doing that together. And you mentioned your service. I mean, you served in the military. I mean, the word service, it really is. I mean, you signed up for that, man. That's it. There ain't been no draft in a while.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so when we signed up, you know, I got out of high school. I actually became a firefighter, went to fire college here in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And long story short, felt the Lord moving me to something else, went to the Navy, became a SEAL, and it was during wartime. So literally when I finished training, first deployment, even though I didn't get a lot of, you know, anything, just because you deploy to a place where war is happening doesn't mean you're actually involved in the war.
Right.
But I got to go to Iraq when I checked into the SEAL teams. And then over to Germany for a little while, running some security over there, and then went to sniper school, went back to Afghanistan, got a ton of war in Afghanistan, man. It was the Wild West. It was phenomenal. It's what every young man who signs up to go to war dreams of, right?
Right.
Go to Afghanistan, and then do those deployments, come back, and then do a lot of other deployments to the Middle East where they were combat-oriented, but it might not mean that you're getting in a gunfight every day, because if you're in a gunfight, that is that means you actually failed your mission, if you're tracking with what I'm saying. So being able to work all over the Middle East, in Korea, in some African countries, you know, especially as a contractor even afterward, I got to see a lot of the world, and I got to see a lot of positive things, but also got to see negative things, and that's how the political class negatively impacts the warrior class and regular everyday folks like me and you who are going out to protect this country. So I did get to see that. So that's where it started for me, joining the military. So, yeah, we joined during a wartime, and man, everything I've done has been in some sort of combat role in the SEAL teams or as a contractor outside of the SEAL teams when overseas.
Well, what would be your message? You mentioned, I mean, you joining during wartime. I mean, that was one thing that you and I were texting back and forth, and I said, you know, that after the bombs were dropped a couple of weeks ago overseas, all you heard from the left side of the aisle was World War III. We're going back to war. Everything, you know, now he's going to be a war president like every other president. And turns out that on the heels of that, he also was getting peace treaty signed between people. So if you jumped in right now, you know, let's say you're elected tomorrow, I mean, your message to some of the people would go, hey, man, are we going to war or not?
Yeah, well, I mean, one, war is it's a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. I mean, Sherman, who ransacked the South during the Civil War, you know, he's famous for saying war is hell. And he talks about that. He talks about how the political elite, media, people who have never been there, they're the ones who want to throw stones at what we're doing when it comes to waging war. But war is hell. Make it as terrible as you can right now to end it as quickly as possible. There is no good way to do it other than killing bad guys and moving on appropriately. Somebody else said, "Hey, told me recently, said we're in a time where you just push buttons or fly drones." I'm like, "That's not true. War is always dudes killing other dudes. Mm-hmm. That is it. That's what war is, and that's a terrible thing. So if we can keep people off the ground by showing strength, and I think that's what the Trump administration just did by flying over from the U.S., flying over into Iranian airspace, flying over a bunch of people's airspace, undetected, dropping bombs, setting back their nuclear program. You know, I think there were 60 to 70% enriched, right? And everybody can kind of look up and see all the different opinions on that. But setting them back however many years they believe they sent them back, if we can do that, that there's three things that are happening. One, Iran is now set back from being able to shoot the Saudis, shoot the Israelis, shoot the Egyptians or the Jordanians, any of our partners in the Middle East with a nuclear weapon. So that would be the primary goal. The secondary goal is Russia and Ukraine. They have their stuff going on, regardless of how anybody feels about it. Russia is semi-partner with Iran. They're sending them a lot of stuff, and they're seeing that. So they see some strength. I do not believe I was, you know, involved in the Afghanistan pullout and getting people out. I was in Afghanistan after the U.S. military left as well, getting people out. I don't believe that Russia would have invaded Ukraine like we saw had it not been for the perception of U.S. weakness, i.e. the Afghanistan pullout, because it came on the heels of that, right?
Mm-hmm, it did.
Russia's looking like, okay, they really mean what they're saying. Then number three, China's looking at it. We see Taiwan. Everybody always talks about it. China's going to try to overtake Taiwan. Well, if we don't positively support our allies in the region, China's watching that. And when they see us do that, okay, all right, they mean business. Does it mean it always works? No, but you can't negotiate with a tiger when your head's in its mouth. You've got to kill the tiger. And honestly, I think that's what Trump did. He went in and killed the tiger. Everybody saw it. They said, yep, they're going to support our people. And what does that do? That strength starts to breed peace, and it keeps boots off the ground. So we don't have another Iraq or Afghanistan, places that my buddies died over the last 20 years. And then now we sit on the outside looking at it. What did they die for? What did my friends not come home for? And that's kind of the way I look at it. I think what we're seeing now is the only way to alleviate the risk of World War III. People would disagree with me, but as a guy who's been to war, I think the show of strength that was the bombing in Iran and then Israel doing what they did, that show of strength, like it or not, is probably the sort of things that are going to keep us out of World War III. I could wind up being wrong tomorrow, but that's my opinion. That and $5 can get you a cup of coffee.
Yeah, there you go. is it $5 now? Is it maybe more than that at this point with Starbucks?
It's probably more than that. That's right.
Again, Jared Hudson with me on the WANI hotline as we're talking about the Senate seat that will be vacated by Tommy Tuberville and his gubernatorial campaign. And Hudson going to be running for that as we continue with Jared and talk more about his campaign and what he plans on doing throughout the state of Alabama as he goes and visits door to door. Again, Jared Hudson on the WANI hotline, who will be running for Senate. I'll ask you about something a little close to home, and I know that Katie Britt's out there. She's always pushing for it, as well as Tubbs right now, while he's still in office, still pushing for it. And that is some of the big things in Alabama, farming, as well as import-export. We got Mobile, a port city that a lot of people heading in and out of. So I'm sure that you're going to get asked by a ton of farmers. Even the auditor that I interviewed last week, one of the guys running for auditor, is being asked about farming in the state of Alabama. So that's going to be hitting close to home and protecting farmers. I mean, in the state of Alabama, just, you know, kind of toot it torn a little bit on that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Alabama agriculture is, somebody can look me up, tell me if I'm wrong, I think it's like 20-30% of our, you know, our industry in Alabama. Like, we're a big ag state. I can't remember the exact number of the actual state's economy that it impacts, but it's somewhere between 10-20% of the workforce, and I want to say the state's total GDP is like 5-8% from ag alone, for somewhere around, you know, 20-30% just total impact it has on the state, whether it's workforce or the GDP. So I say all that to say, it's a huge portion of the state, at least, you know, close to a quarter or a third of it. And I've got like an uncle that's a blueberry farmer. They literally run a blueberry farm in Etowah County. And so it doesn't just impact close to home, like it impacts my home. And some of, let's use the Big Beautiful Bill. That would be the one I was asked about most recently. There are provisions for farmers in the Big Beautiful Bill that positively impacts our farmers around the state. So that would be one major thing that, hey, we need to make sure, even if they're changing stuff in the Senate, we need to leave these positive impacts for our ag industry, in particular farmers, in the Big Beautiful Bill to help them with, ultimately has to do with just, you know, restitution from, you know, bad crop year, destruction from storms, and, you know, so forth and so on. That's one big thing that you can positively impact with Senate. The other side of it that I found, I didn't know this until I, you know, probably 2 months ago when somebody was briefing me on it. The third largest industry in the state is forestry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that. And they're one of the largest largest like employers in the state, the forestry industry, so I think that, 'cause that does fall into agriculture, positively impacting those sectors of our state by removing government overreach, oversight. That's some of the issues that these guys were talking about, the regulations of the federal government, make it impossible for it to be truly a free market, right? And obviously, if you're a conservative, you're for free market. Make it impossible to be truly a free market, which negatively impacts the workforce in Alabama, negatively impacts business in Alabama, ultimately negatively impacting the economical growth of Alabama. The last thing I'll leave you with is, obviously, we've got the aerospace industry up in Huntsville that's growing. I think that is one positive thing to be at the forefront of. It's the one thing the federal government's supposed to do is national security, and oftentimes it feels like they're not doing that. But being able to invest in those national security dollars in Alabama, and then in South Alabama, where they're building ships and all of the naval vehicles, a lot of the stuff we see going into national security on the seafaring side coming out of South Alabama, I think that those are all things that we, as a U.S. senator, that I can and I should be willing to positively impact, and I am, because I've got buddies in all of those industries. I've got family in the farm industry. So there you go. There's your 15,000-foot view of that, I guess.
There you go. Well, before I let you go, we only got a minute or so left, and I let you give your – I do this with all candidates when I visit with them – your elevator speech on why they need to vote for you whenever it gets time to cast their ballot.
Yeah, so I would say, first and foremost, I'm not a career politician. I have served this country. I've served the state. I still serve the state as a law enforcement officer. But I would say the biggest thing for me is, this is not political ambition. This is truly a heart of service for for we the people, you the people of Alabama. If you want somebody who's going to take your issues to D.C. and not bring the D.C. issues back to Alabama, vote Jared Hudson in the May 26th primary, and I look forward to being your next U.S. Senator. The last thing I'll leave you with, it's the most important thing about me, whether you get out and vote for me or not, I'm a born-again believer in the person of Jesus Christ. If you don't know God, ask him to reveal himself to you, and it will be in the person of Jesus Christ, and you'll have the opportunity to accept him or deny him. I encourage you to seek Jesus, and he will find you.
HudsonForAlabama.com is where you can find more information.
Hey, thanks for having me, brother.